Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
イザヤ書 9章1節から7節まで日本語でお読みします。しかし苦しみのあったところに闇がなくなる。先にはゼブルンの地とナフタリの地は恥ずかしめを受けたが、後には海沿いの道、ヨルダン川の彼方、異邦人のガリラヤは光栄を受けた。闇の中を歩んでいた民は大きな光を見た。死の影の地に住んでいた者たちの上に光が照った。あなたはその国民を増やし、その喜びを増し加えられた。彼らは借り入れ時に喜ぶように、分取り物を分ける時に楽しむように、あなたの御前で喜んだ。あなたが彼の重荷の首輝と肩の鞭、彼を虐げる者の杖をミディアンの火になされたように、粉々に砕かれた体、戦場ではいたすべての靴、血にまみれた着物は焼かれて火の餌食となる。一人の緑子が私たちのために生まれる。一人の男の子が私たちに与えられる。主権はその肩にあり、その名は不思議な助言者、力ある神、永遠の父、平和の君と呼ばれる。その主権は増し加わり、その平和は限りなく、ダビデの王座について、その王国を治め、裁きと正義によってこれを固く立て、これを支える。今よりとこしえまで万軍の主の熱心がこれを成し遂げる。
Good morning. How are you all doing? Well, since it's Christmas, how about we all stand and give our neighbors a big Christmas greeting? So how about we all stand and just greet our neighbors real quick?
Thank you.
Christmas greeting? Let's all come together. Yeah, we'll have a time to eat and fellowship after service. So, yeah, let's all come back together. It is Christmas Sunday, and I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the famous Christmas passages you might have heard that we just read is the one where it says, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, a child is born." And I wanted to talk about that just to give us a little bit of maybe hope, because that's what that passage is about. It's about hope. Hope in a Savior. It starts off with nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Amen. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. And in context, the chapter before this famous passage is one of judgment, a warning from God. And a lot of times that's what the prophets in the Old Testament had to do. God would give them messages to the Old Testament prophets to bring the children of God back to Him, because they found their way, they've lost their way. They've gone astray. And so a lot of times the prophet's job were to speak God's heart to God's people. And a lot of times it did have to do with judgment. But here in chapter 9, verse 1, Isaiah brings not judgment, but hope. Hope of a Savior. That's why it starts off with nevertheless. There was a pronouncement of judgment. And then Isaiah stops and says, but there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Amen. There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Now, I don't know why God allows gloom and distress. It's a mystery to me. But in the light of eternity, whatever gloom or distress you may be going through, in the light of eternity, it will all make sense. Why God allows some things to happen to good people or innocent people, I don't understand. I can't explain that to you. Now some of you may be going through some stuff. And I'm going to say, in fact, all of you at one point or another will go through some stuff. Some distress. Whether it's physical distress, emotional distress, relational distress, financial distress. And the older you live, the more you'll see it. Jesus Himself said, you know, every day has its own enough stress of its own. So just don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today. And today will have its worries. Even now, some of you are worried. It's, what is it, December 22nd. Some of you are worried about buying the last minute Christmas gifts, right? If you're married, I hope you got your spouse something really nice. No, I'm just kidding, because I haven't bought mine yet. I'm be honest, it's a little distressing during the holiday season. But on a more serious note, during the holiday season, it's distressing when you've lost loved ones, or when you're estranged from loved ones. It's distressing when you don't have enough money to buy gifts, maybe. It's distressing when people you love you can't see or connect with because of one thing or another. And we all have gone through distress. Nevertheless, the prophet says, there will one day be no more gloom, no more distress. Good news, amen. There will be a day when there will be no more gloom or distress. He goes on to say, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And the good news is this, that no matter how dark things get, Jesus, if you allow him, would bring light to the situation. No matter how dark things get, no matter how dark things get physically, emotionally, interpersonally, relationally, financially, no matter how dark things get, if you allow Jesus, he can bring life and light to the situation. Jesus says, I am the light of this world. And that is what the prophet is talking about in Isaiah. There's gloom, there's distress, there's darkness. There are people who are walking in the shadow of death. Now, I've never gone that far before. You know, I've never had to deal with that kind of stress in my life, where you're walking in the shadow of death. But there may be a time, and some of you may have gone through that once or twice. And some of you may be walking through that right now. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The Christian life is funny in that way sometimes. It's funny because it's not ha-ha funny, like my singing earlier. But it's funny in that the degree that we walk in darkness, sometimes is the degree we can see the light of God, the goodness of God. Does that make sense? Because if you've never walked in darkness, the brightness and the goodness of God becomes very hypothetical. Oh yeah, he's good because the Bible says he's good. Or he's good because the pastor says he's good. Or he's good because the world says he's good. And we don't know, really, his goodness until we've felt the pain and the evils of this world. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been so beat up? I mean, maybe physically, but beat up, just emotionally, spiritually, just beat up. And God showed up and you almost cried. Because he was that good. It doesn't happen every day, but I remember one time when I was so angry at God, and I felt, you know, I felt God say, "Hey, go to the mailbox." And you know, I felt that a couple of times, and there was nothing in the mailbox, but I felt that this time, and I was pretty defiant this day. Because I just had enough, and I said, God, you better show me something. I opened the mailbox, I opened the mail, there's a check. Enough to meet my needs. And I almost started crying. Actually, I did start crying. But it was happy tears. What they call happy tears. It was a sense of, I mean, I don't have doubts that God is real. I've experienced him enough where I know he's real, and I've committed my life to him. But it was just a situation of, God, do you really care? I mean, hypothetically, you are the light of this world, I know. I've read that you're my shepherd, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear no evil, blah, blah, blah. I've read that, I've heard that. I know it, but in that moment, it was different. He met me. And in my dark and gloomiest times, he did shine bright. And he can do that for you. And he will do that for you. That's what the prophet Isaiah prophesied about. He said, nevertheless, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living on the shadow of death, a light have dawned. And you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. And let me tell you, for me, yes, there was joy because my circumstance changed. But you know what? Sometimes circumstance can't change for one reason or another. Right? I mean, if you lost a loved one, that's not going to change. But when God meets you, there's a joy that starts from within. It is a deep-seated joy. It is a joy that the things outside of us cannot touch. And he says, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. And Jesus, let me just say, Evelyn talked about the greatest gift to us is Jesus. And this Jesus can take us from gloom to joy. And it's not a circumstantial, it is a powerful inward transformational joy. But if you notice, he says he will enlarge the nations and increase their joy. You know what? This joy isn't just simply for you, but it is supposed to be contagious. It is supposed to go outward into the nations. And in fact, this prophecy is not merely for us personally. The light, the joy, from taking us from gloom, from darkness into joy. It's not just for us personally, although it will impact each and every one of you personally, if you allow it. But he goes on to say in chapter 9, verse 4, he says, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. I don't know if many of you know Midian's defeat, but I believe it's a reference to the judge Gideon. Sorry, thank you, just Gideon. If you guys know Gideon's story, Gideon, some translate his name to mean mighty warrior, but Gideon is the one who God called. I won't tell you the whole story, but God called to free them and defeat Midian's army. And what's so special or interesting about this story about for Gideon is that he started off with a pretty large army, pretty sizable army. It was about maybe 30,000 or something. And God said to Gideon, your army's too big. If you win this battle, you'll think it's because you had a good army, a great army. And he said, tell the army, if you want to leave, you can leave. And so in that day, about tens of thousands of the army left. And he had maybe about 1,000 left. And then God said, you know, even that's a bit too big. I want to make sure that when you win, I get the glory and people know that it wasn't because of your strength or your skill, but because of my might. And so Gideon had to do some more things, and the army shrank to about 300. And God said to Gideon, that's enough. With 300, I will deliver you from the Midianites. It says, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, ye have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppression. Midian was defeated because Gideon fought. But it was a supernatural fight. And so some of you are in a struggle right now. Let me tell you, it's not just physical. It is a supernatural fight. Because a lot of times, the gloom, doom, distress, and all that other thing, there is an adversary in our lives. And I have to be clear that Satan is real. And he will do everything to make your life hell here on earth. Especially if you're not going to go to hell after earth. And so for those of you who are going through hell, It will be like the days of Midian. You know, he will supernaturally meet your provision, meet your need, if you allow him. And that's what it means to live by faith sometimes. Living by faith doesn't mean, oh, I have enough money in the bank to pay all my bills. Living in faith sometimes means, I don't have enough money in my bank to pay my bills. God, would you show up? Or, I don't have the strength or the wisdom or the knowledge or the ability to do what you're telling me to do. God, I need you to show up. And if you're not living in that place, you know, there's a thing called reason and faith, but there is an intersection there that is both reasonable, but by faith, where you don't have enough, where you can't do it with your own strength. Because if you can do it with your own strength, you don't need God. You don't need a Savior. I'm going to be honest. One of my goals in life is to live comfortably. And that's not a bad goal. It's not evil or malicious. But in some ways, it is trying to eliminate the necessity for provision from God, is it not? There's a lot of stories where it talks about, oh, I've accumulated enough, I'm just going to relax now. And those stories don't end well, let me tell you, in the Bible. You know, in my selfishness, I do want to be comfortable and not need a thing. But oftentimes, if we ever get to that point, you might just say, oh, I don't need God either. Our life here isn't to be comfortable. Although there will be peace, joy, and all these other things. But our life here is to follow Jesus. And a lot of times, following Jesus means following him through the valley of the shadow of death. It means going through and defeating the Midianites in our lives. It means doing supernatural exploitations that takes a supernatural provision to accomplish. That's what Gideon did. That's what the reference to Midian's defeat is about. Jesus comes as a light to transform not only our lives. So even when your life does get comfortable, and I'm going to proclaim it right now, that you will all live pretty comfortably financially, where you don't have to beg. But even if and when that happens, I don't want you to say, okay, now I can relax. Now I could kick my feet off. But there is a transformation that this chapter and this verse, this scripture verse in chapter 9 is talking about, a transformation of the world. An enlargement of joy, not just in you, but in the nations. Jesus comes as light, again, to transform not only our lives, but transform the world. And you may be saying, okay, how am I supposed to do that? Exactly. That's the point. You can't do it on your own. But you are called to. Because Jesus says, not only did he say, I am the light of the world, but he goes on in Matthew and says, you are salt, you are light. Let me wrap it up. He says, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for fire. There will be a day when there is no more, but until that day comes, we must resolve to be warriors, to fight. Because there are things, worthy causes to fight for. God wants to eliminate poverty. He wants orphans to be cared for. He wants the fatherless to be loved. And until those things happen, I don't think God will be satisfied. Jesus will not be satisfied until all of those things are taken care of. And so it says in 9:6, the most famous verse in this chapter says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder." The classic Christmas message is Jesus came as a gift to die for your sins. And that is absolutely true. And if you've never asked Jesus in your life to forgive you of your sins, I encourage you, do that. He has come as a sacrifice. To die for our sins. But that's not it. That's not the whole story. He has also come to reign and to rule. Not just as a savior, but as a king. Not just somebody to bring you peace, but to bring peace on earth. And so if you have asked Jesus in your life, great. That's just the beginning. Next, we're here to save the world. And it may seem impossible or improbable, but with the power of God, nothing is impossible. And although you may impact only one or two people in your life, you are partaking in what Jesus came here to do, and that's to take over. He has come to take the reins and bring peace on earth, to bring justice, to free the oppressed, to bring sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim good news to the poor. He's come to do all that, and until all that is accomplished, we are not finished. It's Christmas, we're celebrating His birth, but let us daily celebrate what He truly came to do, and not just to take away our sins, but to transform this world. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so thankful and grateful that You obeyed perfectly the Father. Father God, we are so thankful that You would selflessly give up Your Son. Jesus, during this holiday season, we ask that You would give us a spirit of gratitude. Also, we ask that You would just impart joy to those who are in gloom. Peace, Lord. I pray, Father, for those who are lacking, that You would meet us in our need in a supernatural way. That we would not be able to deny Your goodness in our lives. I thank You so much, Lord, for You are a great and wonderful, mighty God. May Your everlasting love manifest itself here today and in the world. We thank You so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.